This is a podcast brought to you by Macleans.ca, the destination for the national conversation. Thanks for listening. I'm here with Macleans writer and film critic Brian D. Johnson, who recently spent some time with Justin Bieber while the pop star was on tour in Washington. Now, I personally know many young ladies and even some my own age who'd go to great lengths to have been in your position. Did you get to see any of the fans? Did you interact with any of them?
I don't know how much I interacted. I was a bit shy about doing the sort of the girl on the street interviews. But I certainly saw a lot of them because I got there mid-afternoon, and already in Washington, D.C., the arena was just, you know, surrounded by teenage girls. Like, every entrance is as if they're just looking for the slightest little sort of security leak or breach.
Right.
You know, they surrounded this bus. And who knows? I mean, they've got 11 tour buses, right, in this tour. Who knows who was in it, but they just kept screaming at it.
Hoping
that, you know, something would just materialize. Yeah. And I did, I hung out a bit at the meet and greet. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these meet and greet things.
No.
They're kind of standard in the industry, but on that level, it's pretty amazing. There were literally hundreds of girls who had somehow got the right, whether it's through contests or paying extra money or whatever, to actually meet and greet Justin Bieber.
Oh, man.
And it's like it's a meat market. I mean, first of all, they had it set up right outside the arena, like inside the arena, just before you would go into the seats, like in the regular lobby area. But then it turned out he was behind schedule, so they had to move the whole thing down into a stairwell, and at the bottom of a stairwell. And basically it's like scaffolding, steel pipes with black fabric surrounding it. So basically you've got this little room, like a makeshift room set up where he can be in private as each one of these fans comes in to get her photograph taken. And they processed, I'd say, about 200, 250 fans within a half an hour. Like one after the, like they go in, you know, in groups of, you know, four or five or six, and bang, bang, bang. And I thought, gee, you know, you're this huge star, but you've still got to do, like a politician. It's like pressing the flesh. You've got to, you know, wrap your arms around a bunch of kids and have the picture taken, bring in the next bunch of kids. And it reminded me when I did Shania Twain for Country Music. The country music scene has it's very fan-based, and they really work the fans.
Right.
You know, and it struck me, well, you know, Mick and Keith and, you know, the Stones, the real rock royalty don't have to do that, right? They don't have to do that kind of meet and greet thing. So he's still at the level where it's like they're building the fan base one fan at a time.
But he seems to, that seems to be such a key point in his whole aura. Like, the fans are so all important to him.
It's a covenant with the fans, that the star has with the fans. And you just work that. You can't neglect that. You've got to work it. And of course, I just, you know, you kind of assume, well, that's all just done through the music, through the media, through the performances. But no, there's a whole element of like a populist kind of cultivating the fan base that takes place on a very, you know, it's a very nuts and bolts level where you got to get out there and have your picture taken with fans. And, you know, every concert there's a few hundred fans who have touched the hem of the garment.
Now, you got to get pretty up close and personal with him. You played ping pong. You shook his hand. He showed you a photo on his cell phone of him with his shirt off.
Yeah.
Now, you had this chunk of time with him, and you're certainly not new to spending time with celebrities. You've interviewed countless for the magazine. Does he compare at all, or how is he different, I guess?
Well, he's totally different. I mean, it's funny. I've interviewed a lot of music legends. I've interviewed Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Madonna, Tina Turner, Bryan Adams, Chrissy Hynde, Gordon Lightfoot, Shania Twain, Katie Lang. The list goes on and on and on. And, you know, you learn not to be nervous when you're meeting people, especially if they're people you worship or that you grew up with. It's always a bit weird. But with Justin Bieber, I don't think I've ever been quite so apprehensive and nervous about interviewing a star as I was with Justin Bieber. And it's not because I'm a huge fan. I mean, that would be weird. there's something cruel about sending a guy who was old enough to have seen the Beatles play in the 60s in Maple Leaf Gardens to interview Justin Bieber. I mean, I'm from the other side, right? So it's not that I was a huge fan. That's not why I was nervous. It's just that it was like I was going to another planet. And I felt ill-equipped. I felt unqualified. I was just from such a different place.
Despite all of this experience interviewing.
Well, that experience doesn't tell you anything about the person you're interviewing. So what I did is I immersed myself in his music, and I read a lot about him. I read everything I could get my hands on. But still, there's something unnerving about sitting across from an 18-year-old kid who is, ranked by Forbes as the third most powerful celebrity on the planet, who has, more YouTube hits than anybody, who is really rich and powerful. I mean, it's a bit akin to, in a horror movie, the scariest thing in a horror movie is a superpowered child. Now, I know Justin Bieber is not a child anymore. He's 18 years of age, but he still looks pretty young to me. And I felt I had to really be on my toes with him. It's also because he was a tough interview. He's very coached. Mm-hmm. He's very cautious. He said some things that have got him into trouble. He talked about abortion at one point, how he thought it was wrong. That got him into a lot of trouble. So he's nervous about saying anything controversial, which again is weird for somebody of my generation, because I come from a generation where the definition of a rock star or a pop star is somebody who gets up in front of the press and says outrageous things.
That's right.
This guy's the opposite. He's a much more corporately groomed, and he used the corporate we as opposed to the royal we in terms of talking about this is our plan. This is what we want to do. This is where we see ourselves. We have to make plans. We're looking ahead to that. And it's him and his team. And he has been, I think his life and his career has been very much controlled by a pretty astute group of people. Although now he's obviously getting to the point where he's going to want to assert his independence more and really the key to his longevity, and that's what the piece is all about. And that's what interested me in it, is how do you make the jump from the incredible leap from being a teen idol to being an adult star with a real career. To me, the answer lies in the music. And frankly, when I talked to Scooter Braun, his manager, and he said, it's really simple. You just got to make a great effing record.
Yeah.
And that's it.
At the end of the day.
That's what it comes down to.
Should an 18-year-old be speaking about politics, about abortion, about these sort of huge and very touchy topics, very much outside the realm of pop music?
Well, I guess not, because he didn't want to touch them. I thought politics was kind of relevant, because I spoke to him on the eve of the presidential election in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C.
Fair enough.
And I'm talking to a guy who has been to the White House not once, but twice. A kid who flirted with the First Lady, who has a connection to Obama and to politics, who's talked about how he loves Canada's healthcare system. So it's not as if he's...
But he didn't want to touch it?
But he wouldn't touch it. He said I got into too much trouble. Abortion is not exactly an irrelevant issue for him, given his mother's Christian faith, his Christian faith, and the fact that, his mother gave birth to him at 17 when everybody was telling her to have an abortion. So, that might give him a certain personal angle on that issue. But no, he wouldn't touch controversial issues. The one contretemps we had was over the question. I asked him about premarital sex.
Right.
I said, so what are your, what are your views these days on premarital sex? And he said, that's a question you shouldn't be asking. And it so threw me off. I immediately felt guilty for asking it. As if I violated the, I was asking a teenager like what his sexual preferences were,
right,
violating his privacy. So I said, oh, sorry. And he said, oh, no hard feelings. And then later I thought, wait a minute. I just asked this guy.
That's a perfectly reasonable question.
I asked his views on premarital sex. This is a guy who's in the boyfriend business. This is a guy who goes out there singing, I'll be your boyfriend, flirting with thousands of teenagers every night. And I don't think, in retrospect, that it's an unreasonable thing to ask. I wasn't asking if he was having premarital sex with Selena Gomez or with any number of supermodels or whatever. No, I was just saying, what are your views on premarital sex? But he gave me this sort of I am a pop star alien and you shouldn't be asking that question kind
of. That was how it was delivered?
Well, not really. He just, it was just interesting. It was an automatic response.
Yeah.
It was almost machine-like response saying, that's a question you shouldn't be asking. And I thought it was one of the strangest answers I've ever had from a celebrity, you know. I guess he sort of interpreted it as a personal question, and then immediately the guard went up. But it's an example of how kind of off balance I felt at times in the interview. It's funny in this kind of an interview because he's on his best behavior, trying to make a good impression, be polite. He's mm-hmm. He's a nice guy. But he's being asked to sort of talk about things, and that's not what he's famous for. He's famous for singing, performing, dancing. He has a huge skill set. He does a lot of things really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot to ask that he should also, you know, be sort of a dazzling interview, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know. And pop star. I mean, I remember when I interviewed Madonna many years ago at the height of her Blonde Ambition tour when she was huge, and I spent, you know, an hour and a half with her in her home. And I sort
in her
of,
home?
In her home. Sorry. That was the good old days.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was amazed at how she tried so hard to be interesting, intelligent, to give the right answers, to answer any question I gave, you know. And I think it was part of that disconnect, that she knows that she's the biggest star on the planet at the time, but there's a sense that nobody really understands her as an artist
mm-hmm.
and as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people do. And I think with somebody like Justin Bieber, I mean, part of the problem is here we are talking about celebrity and fame and everything else. But really, you know, the kid wants to be taken seriously as a musician and as an artist. And that's got to be his ultimate ambition. And I think a lot of this celebrity stuff really gets in the way. Yet on the other hand, you know, it's a vicious circle because that's what keeps him out there, you know. But it could also kind of be the death of him in some sense. I mean, he's got to separate himself from the machine.
Yeah.
That includes the music business machine, the media machine, the celebrity machine, and the teen idol machine, you know, to make his claim as an artist. And that's, you know, that's not easy.
He comes across in parts of the stories being so overly, not overly confident, but just pretty assured of himself. And it's almost sweet in a sense of that being such a characteristic of being 18, I suppose.
Well, there's a certain naive ambition
yeah.
there, I think. It's like, on the other hand, he's sort of saying, well, look at what I do, you know, and look at where I am, and I'm number one. I've only got one place to go, and that's down. So why shouldn't I be setting the bar as high as possible? And
right.
given what I do, mix of R&B and pop, certain kind of dance, who has done that? Who's been the biggest person? Well, Michael Jackson is the one guy who's sort of, he's the gold standard for what Justin Bieber is doing. Now, it would be presumptuous, I think, for him to say, I'm going to be the next Michael Jackson. He doesn't exactly say that. What he does say is, that's the position I want to be in. That's mm-hmm. what I'm aiming for. And given the kind of game he's in, it's not an unreasonable ambition. From what I could see, I don't think he's got the kind of, like, absolutely sort of ineffable magic talent that Michael
right.
Jackson had. Like, you know, when you see Michael Jackson dance, you just, the hairs go up in the back of your
yeah.
neck, you know. That's something to aim for. I think maybe he needs to, there's a certain amount of, in the show, and even in the music, there's a certain amount of homage to Michael Jackson and kind of imitation, which I think he's got to grow out of. But then, you know, how did the Rolling Stones start? You know, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards just were a blues cover band, you know, for the longest time. How did Elvis Presley start? You know, by channeling black music.
Yeah.
So here's this, you know, white kid from Stratford who is, you know, got all these African-American hip-hop stars as his mentors, his producers, his duet partners. And he's copying Michael Jackson's choreography and dance moves. And so
That's a good point. How different is it?
So how different is it? It's something that you have to go beyond.
Yeah. So who actually won at ping pong?
That was a bit of a joke. You know, it's funny, when you're doing a celebrity interview and you've got such a tight time slot, you're always looking for some little spontaneous moment that will break the ice or create some kind of narrative, you know, like as opposed to just sitting there talking. So I saw the ping pong table in the dressing room, and I thought, oh, you know, maybe we can do something here. So I said, well, you know, I used to be pretty good.
You still are in the office.
Well, and he said, he didn't waste a second. He just said, oh, let's play. And I think for this kid, like playing ping pong is a lot more fun than doing an interview,
yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So he handed me a paddle. You know, there are those really heavy foam paddles, you know? And I could not get that ball on the table for the life of me. I am pretty good, right?
You are very good. You've won. We have, for the record, we have competitions in the office, ping pong tournaments and so on. And you're always ranking up in top five.
I could not land the ball.
Oh, my
gosh. And here he is starting to sort of like baby me with little shots, you know, getting so I can get them back.
Oh, look at the poor guy.
Yeah, and he was saying, I could tell you used to be pretty good.
Oh, my God. I die.
So, you know, we hardly got a rally going, and I just sort of thought, oh, you know, I can see my, if this is coming off my 30 minutes,
yeah.
I think we better cut the game short. So I said, this is not working. And then we went and sat down and began the interview.
Well, if he had a real adult paddle.
Well, you know, you can make excuses, but.
You're not going to.
I thought it was a bit symbolic. It's like the kid had me off balance from the word go. You know, and it's probably just that I was a bit apprehensive. And again, not because I was a huge fan of Justin Bieber, just because I was coming from another planet, or he was coming from another planet. We are from different planets.
You're from different planets.
Although we are both from Canada, which should count for something, you know. But I liked him. He was, I think it's amazing that he's, you know, he's gone through 4 years of this. I guess he got into it at 13, you know. He's been in the business for a while. I did point out I actually have spent longer on the road as a professional musician than he has back in the day, but, you know, I don't
think... Did that impress him at all?
I don't think so.
Oh, well. Anyway, the story's fantastic.
Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you.
It was fun.
Good.